today on Real Radio.
We are not to reinvent church. We are not to create some new way of seeking God. We are to stick to those old paths, those strong paths that are proven of old, the truth of God.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called Who Told You About the Church, Part 3, continues a series now called Who Told You? Oftentimes, our doctrine is based on past experiences or outside influences. In this series, we'll learn how to discern the voices of our day based on what Scripture reveals. In Part 1 and Part 2 of this lesson, we learned that the New Testament church is a Christ-centered community of believers. And in this Christ-centered community, we are a family that's not led by feelings but growing and grounded in faith based on the facts of the Bible. Now in Part 3, we'll discover why God created His church and how the believer is to be involved. Today on Day 3 of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us that it is God's church who guards His truth and that we as believers are the proclaimers of His truth. And like a sword, God's truth cuts through the darkness of sin and suffering to bring hope and healing to a lost and dying world. And now, continuing in his lesson called Who Told You About the Church, Part 3, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
The Bible goes on in Philippians 4, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. That's how you stay away from anxiety. Give it to Him in prayer, pray for others, and be thankful. Let your requests be made known to God. And here's the result. The peace, the calm of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. God makes this promise. Listen, I don't often endorse tattoos, but you ought to get that tattooed on you if you have a hard time remembering that one. That's a good one. God, you said, I'm starting to worry. I'm starting to fret. God, you told me that if I keep putting this out to you, you're going to take care of me, and that your peace, your grace, really, will garrison, guard my heart. And He'll do it. That's the reality of His power in the church, the result of His power in the church. And I like to say that there's the relevance of His power in the church, the relevance. And this is a growing opportunity for us. James says in James chapter 1, verse 26, if anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless or vain. Well, I'm a Christian. I go to church. I read my Bible. But the person's mouth is out of control. God says that person's deceived themselves. They're not for real. Verse 27, pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit the orphans. Orphans. We don't hear much about orphans anymore, but I do believe, correct me if I'm wrong, wouldn't orphans today be kids in the foster system? Right? You know, before I keep reading, there's a couple in this church. I'm going to be off. I don't have the number down. If somebody knows, let me know. But Lisa was telling me that over their lifetime, they have taken in over 50 children in their home as foster parents. And they view that as a mission field. They view that as a mission field. Their home is open to a needy child. And I tell you what, I commend anyone who does that. And that's an awesome thing. And God will reward you. Babies, sweet little babies being protected and taken into a loving Christian home. My heart breaks, though, when I meet young men, young women that are 12, 13, 14 years old that are going from one foster home to another, or they're in the system of the state. Breaks my heart. And just the other day, I was driving home, and I drive home. I got to go home every day right past Boys Republic. Do you know about Boys Republic?
Yep.
That place had a very, well, he was a kid at the time, but he came out to be a very famous man and had a horrible life. And later in his latter days, came to Christ. But do you know who grew up there under their care as an orphan? Steve McQueen, right here in Chino Hills. and came to Christ later on in life. But he was he learned all of his bad boy stuff on the streets. And he was an orphan there just down the street from us. Somebody reached out, and somebody needs to reach out. And God says, those that are reaching out, look at how the kids you're loving in Mali, but it doesn't have to be Mali. What about the kids in downtown LA? The kids that are orphaned. We team up with other churches, with FJM, Fred Jordan Mission, downtown Los Angeles, reaching out to children. Horrible things. Just because, by the way, a parent is not dead, but has a child, that child could still very much be orphaned because that parent is strung out on dope, strung out on drugs. And in a real way, that kid's orphaned. The relevance of the power of Christ conforming your life to his image and not the world, the power of the relevance. A church that is alive with the Holy Spirit is reaching out. Thirdly, we see this. Why the church? Well, according to God, God made the church to be the guardian of his truth, which always blows my mind. God's church is the guardian of his truth. How so? We repeat his truth. We proclaim his truth. We announce the truth. And we are indebted today to a man 2,000 years ago who I believe asked the ultimate question. I think it's the greatest question that's ever been asked. And that is Pilate, Pontius Pilate. Jesus appeared before Pilate on the eve of his crucifixion. And Pilate said, are you king of the Jews? I'm hearing this. People are saying you're a king. And Jesus said, you say rightly, for I am a king. For this cause I came into the world, or I was born. And for this cause I came into the world, that I should bear witness of the truth. And everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. And Pilate asked the second question, which is the most important of all. Pilate said to Jesus, what is truth? That's an awesome question. That question is out today. What is truth? Go to your college campus. Ask your professor, what's truth? Don't listen to their answer. Just ask them the question. They don't know the answer. I don't care where you go. Ask people, what's truth? The Bible says Jesus said he's truth. The Bible says of itself that it is truth. The church doesn't guard God's truth in the sense that it has to be protected, that we are the custodians, the guardians of it, that we run with it. The Bible says that the word of God is a sword. We pull it out and we go with it. I love it. You think of the Bible like a sword, and it just cuts through the darkness. It cuts through sin and wickedness and injustice and suffering, and it brings hope and healing and rebuke and cleansing. God's word. As a church, do we love his word as a people? Do we love his word? It is so, it's not something that we have to do. I get up this morning, I gotta read the Bible. You get up this morning, you put the thing on. You get your Bible, you put it on. Speaking to a man in the courtyard after first service, and he said, I'm going backwards. I'm not going forward. And I go, let's do this. Right in the courtyard, I just did, now I don't recommend you do this at home, but I just did Bible roulette. I just turned somewhere in my Bible, okay? And I said, let's do this. But they shall fly down upon the shoulder of the Philistines toward the west. Together they shall plunder the people of the east. Now that's talking about judgment, obviously. I would just say this out of that. I said, you would pray like this. Oh, God in heaven, give me victory. God, I'm standing on your word. Give me strength. Lord, whatever temptation comes from any angle or whatever pressure, oh, God, give me your answer. Make me strong, Lord. Make me valiant. And I'm standing on your word. In Jesus' name, amen. And you know what? You can get up and you can go into your day clothed with the power of God's word. You may not feel a thing, but you'll see the power of it. Something will happen in your life that day, and you will see the answer come right in front of you, and you'll be shocked. You'll be blown away that God gave you that answer in the morning. You put the armor on, and you went out there, and you saw God's truth. And in living it out and in bearing witness of it, you're the guardian of God's truth. It's quite remarkable. God wants us to use his word. Now, for time's sake, I don't want to belabor this, but in the book of Revelation, chapter 3, Jesus is speaking to the church at Laodicea. When you read the letters to the seven churches, the church at Laodicea is a church you don't want to be. It's not good. In Revelation 3, verse 15, Jesus said, I know your works, that you're neither cold nor hot. I could wish that you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you. Some of you have the King James Version, which is very sweet and polite. It says spew. Doesn't that sound sweet almost? I will spew you out of my mouth. I don't know about you, but women spew and men vomit. Either way, it's a violent word. Why would Jesus say such a thing? Verse 17, because you say, I'm rich. I've become wealthy. I have need of nothing. But do you not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked? Can you imagine Jesus saying that to you, church, or to your family, or to you personally? This is horrible. Verse 20, behold, he said, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come to him. Come into him. I know that's often used wrongly, by the way, as an evangelistic verse. Did you know that? We use it in evangelism to somebody who's not a Christian. Jesus stands at the door and knocks. That's okay, but that's not true. He's talking to a church of his. Can you imagine Jesus trying to get into a church of his? The church of Laodicea. And he says, I can't get in. Can somebody unlock the door? And he says, you're lukewarm. Laodicea, this is amazing. I have no map. I have no pictures. This just pops into my head now. You got to watch my hands. This is the illustration. Here it is. Laodicea was in a valley there in Asia Minor, which is Turkey today. Colossae was a community that was at the base of a great mountain range. And in Colossae, ice cold, melted snow waters would come out of the springs at Colossae. They were famous for ice cold, wonderful, refreshing water. Everyone came to Colossae to fill up their barrels and their jugs and their skins with cool, refreshing water from those mountains. And Jesus said, I wish you were cold. I can be refreshed by you. If you were like Colossae, I could be refreshed if I visited you. Or across the valley and up on the other side of the range is Hierapolis. And Hierapolis, still to this day, it's a great tourist site. Beautiful, therapeutic pools, hot water, mineral pools of great temperatures where people soak, have their bones refreshed or their bones comforted and soothed. And Jesus said, I wish you were hot. I wish you were hot and I could have comfort, or I wish you were ice cold and I could be refreshed. Those two creeks flowed down into the valley, and where those two creeks met was a place called Laodicea. There was a river upstream that was pure and clean. But when the water flowed out of those hot pools that were good to soak in but terrible to drink, and when it mixed with the ice good cold water in that river, it became tepid or lukewarm and polluted. And Jesus said, I'd rather have you be hot as a believer bringing therapy everywhere you go, or cool as a believer and you bring refreshment to anyone you go to. But because you're lukewarm, he says, I'm going to puke you out of my mouth. I'm going to vomit you out of my mouth. A Christian who cannot function on either side. They're not therapy to anybody, and they're not refreshing anybody. They just live for themselves. They're mixed. They've got the world in with the church. What they are in the world is not Christian. And when they're in church, it's just a mess. And Jesus says, I'm going to vomit you out of my mouth. The church ought not to be like that. The truth takes us from that. Jesus spoke to them the truth. He says to them, I'm telling you now, you need to buy from me these things that matter. You need to come back. And he warns them. The church more than ever needs to be so alive. And then we'll end with this. The church. Why the church? Because we are to be the image bearer of all. The church, us, we. The Bible says we are the light, which I find this amazing. Before the Bible ever says we are the light of the world, Jesus first says he is the light of the world. And then he turns to us and he tells us, you're the light of the world. He says to the church, go and let your light so shine before the world. This is important to me. We are to be image bearers of all that God would have us to be as believers. We are not to be, listen, we are not to be, and we're not called to be as a church, creators or inventors. See, what do you mean? We're simply to be reflectors, church. We are not to reinvent church. We are not to create some new way of seeking God. We are to stick to those old paths, those strong paths that are proven of old, the truth of God. And we are to go forth in his power and simply reflecting all that he has given us. And I'm going to give you some verses as to why that's so important. Listen to this. John 16, verse 12. John 16, 12. Jesus said, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority. But whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you. Notice the progression of things to come. He will glorify me, says Jesus, and he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. Church, listen. Jesus said that when he leaves, the Holy Spirit would come and say only to us what Jesus tells the Holy Spirit to say. But if you know your Bible, what did Jesus say about what the Father said to him to do? Jesus said, I only say that which the Father gave me to say. Jesus turns to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit says only what Jesus says. What's the church supposed to say? Only what the Holy Spirit has to say. Do you see the progression? It's absolutely brilliant. We don't need to create the Bible. We don't need to change it. We don't need to do something different. We just need to give what the Holy Spirit gives. And I think therein is the key for us being a successful, strong Christian family or church. Just do, just say what the Holy Spirit teaches. But that presupposes we know our Bible. I'm going to give you one more verse. Actually, I shouldn't say verse. I've never done this before. I'm going to give you Jack chapter 1, verse 13. Jack 1:13. It's like John, but listen, this is Jack 1. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide the church, right? Into all truth. For the church will not speak on its own authority. Someone say amen. That's good news. We don't need to make anything up. We don't have to conjure up power. We don't have any authority. We've been invited to partake of his authority. We have none of our own. But whatever the church hears, the church will speak. And the church will tell you things to come. For the church will glorify Christ. The church will take of what is his and declare it to the world. Is not that our mission? That's what we're to do. That's why it's the church. In a moment, you're going to get up and you're going to go back to your world. Under the power of the Holy Spirit, on mission. God's got a mission for you to fulfill. Because you've been transformed. Your heart's desire is to share the good news to others. The power is all of God. It's a ministry of grace. His power transforms. And I leave you with this picture. In Psalm 119, verse 130, the Bible says, the teaching of your word gives light, so even the simple can understand. I leave you with this picture. Whenever you and I sit down, or even now take in the word of God, as we ingest it, casual reading or study, the Bible tells us that we possess this truth in our earthen vessels, inside of us, the spirit of who you are. When you and I take this word in, and then we get up to go live it out, we are the light bearers of Christ to this world. That the word, that light's going to come out of us. And you may have remembered this before, but it's pictured in Nehemiah. In the book of Nehemiah, the Bible tells us that as they were in battle, God tells Nehemiah, take these torches and put them in these pots. and go out before the enemy. And when you are arrayed in battle and the enemy begins to advance and begins to attack, you shout, "The sword of the Lord and the sword of Gideon." And as that happens, break the pots. And when the pots were broken, all the light that was inside with those torches came flying out, and it terrified the enemy and put them to running. As Christians, I want you to keep that in mind. Inside of you, if you are a believer in Christ, there's so much light inside of you that wants to get out. You and I need to be broken to our own agenda, broken to our own desires, broken to our own plan, and let God do with you what he wants to do. And he's got some exciting stuff that he wants to do with you. The greatest thing you can do today is say, "Lord, just do it. In my life, just do it. I yield it, and I want you to just take me and break me and let me shine for you as a light bearer for Jesus." That's your marching orders for this week. I'd love to hear what happens in your life as you do that wherever you go. Father, we thank you for your awesome, dear, wonderful light and your truth. And Lord, we pray today that, Father, that any man or woman, boy or girl today that doesn't know these things, that today these things are so foreign, that today these things are remote from their thinking, that perhaps they would even say, "I don't know this." That right now, friend, wherever you're at, maybe you're evaluating your claim as a Christian. That nobody knows. You might say, "Few or no one knows I'm a believer." Or, "Pastor, if I'm honest, my life is not powerful. I'm a victim of sin seemingly at every turn. I want to know Jesus. I want to have his power. But I'm just existing." Friend, today is the day that you need to meet Jesus once and for all. That today you surrender right where you're at and you say to him, "Lord God, transform my life. I don't want to be lukewarm. I don't want to be weak regarding these things. Oh God, give me your salvation. Give me your power. And this grace I heard about today, I don't want to use it as a cloak or as some sort of a band-aid. Oh God, may your grace be the very power that causes me to be transformed. Make me new." Is that your prayer today? You tell him right now, friend, right where you're at. If that's your request, I want to meet you in the courtyard today over by the fountain. Come up to me and say, "I'm accepting Christ today. Come and tell me. I'd love to hear from you." But for all of us as believers, oh, I hope Jesus comes back this week. May we see his return. And if he does come this week, may we be caught happily, beautifully caught, being busy about our Father's business as we live for Christ by the grace of God, as we be the church. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called "Who Told You About the Church? Part 3. Thank you for listening, and our hope is that you are clothed in the light of God's Word and in the power of His Holy Spirit. "Who Told You About the Church? Part 3 is part of Pastor Jack's series called "Who Told You?", a series that gives us the truth about heaven, salvation, God's enduring grace, and the future of His church. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. You know, if you are new to Christianity and you'd like to know more about Jesus Christ, please don't hesitate to go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org and click on the tab there that says "Know God." That's K-N-O-W, God. It's a great place to be introduced to the Lord and learn more about what we've been talking about here on the program. Maybe you have somebody in your life and you don't feel comfortable being the one telling them how to know God. Well, why don't you let us help you with that? Send your friend or loved one to the reallifewithjackhibbs.org website and have them click on the "Know God" tab. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.